Annyeonghaseyo, this is Pastor Taeyul, affectionately known as Pastor Tan. It has been a rough February. I have been sick and family members getting sick and the homework and everything else. But I'm telling you, God is still good and I'm so grateful that he is still on the throne. Amen. And I want to let you know, please, I apologize once again. It has been a rough couple of, this month, February has just been a lot of different things, but I'm so grateful and thankful that God is still keeping me, amen, as well as yourself. So I'm grateful and thankful that you are still here and able to listen to me. Now, I have had to hear about where China had an earthquake and there were lights, and I know these lights were not of God, amen. So you need to keep all of us, even different things that I've experienced here in South Korea, in prayer, as well as around the world internationally. There has been a lot more of activities, earthquakes, storms, hails, rain. I mean, we had in one day, it was sunny, then it started to rain, and then it started to snow, then it started to sleet, and a little bit of hail, all in one day. And it was just a lot. So when I tell you that God is speaking, we need to be listening. God was pulling on me, tugging me a lot about, Deuteronomy 20 chapter. And as I read that today, it made so much sense. I made it so much sense that I even talked to my husband about this before I put it on my podcast. And we were talking about how, we've been through this one, and I understand that, but I'm telling you, when you have a really good piece of food, it was so delicious and it was tasty. And let's say whatever you like, coconut, cake, or, apple pie, whatever, you like as a sweet. And then you go back because you forgot it, or your body hasn't, gotten so used to different things that you crave just something sweet. And then you go back and you taste it again. And you're like, wait a minute, hold up. This was better than the last time that I tasted it. Well, I don't know about you, but this is how the word of God is for me. And it's like after going in and, having to do some different construction as far as the house. And I still have a lot of things I need to do in my home. And I still have a lot of things that I need to do for myself. But it was just like, once you get to that, like going back into what God has already given you, but then you read it again and it's like a fresh anointing, a fresh dew on it, or a fresh or a different way of thinking about a different concept that God gives you. Amen. I don't know about you, but it was good. And we're going to get into it. We're definitely going to get diving into it. But God gave me battle instructions and I was like, man, okay. And while I was in Deuteronomy 20th chapter, he said, you shall not fold. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, wait, you shall not fold. And I was like, what do you mean fold? I mean, give up, put in the white. See, that's the thing is that when you're in battle and you wave the white flag, that means you give up. That means you can come in and, take over. And God was like, no, you're not going to wave the white flag. You're going to be able to do what I say do no matter what. And then I sat there and I said, OK, let's go into Deuteronomy and then we'll go back into the second chapter of Joshua. But I really want to hit this because it was a lot for me to really have to sit up here and dig into. And it says the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy, when thou go out to battle against thine enemies and see of horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. I don't know about you. But when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and see of horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priests shall approach and speak unto the people. All right. Now, you know, see, for the children of Israel, the priests are usually more because we're pretty much the ambassadors and of God. And we are priests. We are heavenly priests. When I say that is because back in those times, the priests used to be the ones to go in and do atonement for the people and having to go into the holies of holies. Only they, the Levites, were able to go into the holies of holies. Now, if the priest was not living right, but he went into the Holy of Holies anyway to do, you know, the sacrifices and talk to God, you know that God will, you know, kill him dead. He does not like any sin. Now, what the people did is that they went and tied a noose, you know, some rope around the priest's legs and a bell. So if the priest stopped moving, they would sit up there and drag the body out without having to go in and get him from the holies of holies. Now, when I sat there and I said, wait a minute, God said, do not be afraid. And then at the same exact time, verse 3, and shall you say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not and do not tremble. Neither ye be terrified because of them. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It's that person on your job. It's that person that is sitting there and acting a purity dang on fool. It's not them. It's the spirit that they have that is going against you because of who God is in you. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It's the person that sits up there and acts like they don't know who God is, but they see God in you every day and they get vexed and upset and understandably why. It's because they're sitting up here, they starting to see that God is getting magnified in you. Well, they're sitting up there and they're so jealous of what God has given you, but yet and still at the same exact time, that's what God gave you. You can't sit there and get upset for what the enemy wants to do or say or bring people to your attention. But what you can do is go into prayer and sit up there and you can say something back when God tells you to. But 9 times out of 10, let God fight for you. And I don't know who I'm talking. Maybe I'm talking to myself, but I'm just telling you, when God fights for you, it's already been settled. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, let me get back into this. It says in verse 3, and shall ye say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Let me say, oh, y'all don't hear me though. Verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you and for you against your enemies to save you. Let me read that one more time. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Y'all don't hear me though. It's like God already trained a professional boxer to go before you. And I was thinking about how my husband was sitting up there and telling me before I even got on the podcast, how, you know, reminding my imagination and how God sat there and had the Israelites to have it where they had a cloud of fire. If I'm not mistaken, by day, and a pillow. And then you start seeing smoke and either that was vice versa. But God was present in those times and he's still present today. He's very relevant today. That's not what I'm saying. It's that Israel, before Israel even walked, God was before them. And what I'm saying is that if you don't get anything else, is that God is before you. Who can be against you? That type of thing. I'm trying to tell you is that I know that God is relevant today. He's very poignant today. And he's very, I don't care what they say, nursery rhymes and what have you, but God is speaking so much more than what people say in volumes, that I was like, man, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, when you go back into the scriptures of Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy, you start seeing how God has been able to be present and showing himself, reflecting himself every day with the children of Israel. Now, let me go ahead and go back. And then at the same exact time, to save you. I mean, he wants to sit there and he wants to be present with you, fight your battles for you to save you. Y'all don't hear me though. See, you don't even have to do nothing. God will sit there and go before you and fight for you. And then in order to protect you and save you. But some of us don't even remember that. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go ahead and go back. Verse 5, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, now you're starting to see a little bit more of the authority coming on. That was the priest. And then you're starting to see the officers. They shall speak unto the people, saying, that man is there that haveth built a new house and haveth not declared it. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicated it. Verse 6, and what man is he that haveth planted a vineyard and haveth not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. Verse 7, and what man is he that haveth betrothed a woman and has not taken her? Let him go and return into his house, lest he die in battle and another man take her. Verse 8, and see, this is the thing. I was like, wait a minute, God, you're telling these people or these men that's about to go to battle that, you know, if he's built another house and he didn't even dedicate it, why are you telling them to go back? But then at the same exact time, it was like, you know, like the Holy Spirit sat there and said, look, even as when I was in the military, we would have to be able to have affidavits, or we would have, you know, if I had to die in battle, who my next of kin would be or who would get my benefits from. And see, at the same exact time, it was the fact that he wanted to have the people mentally and physically prepared for war, and their mind should be there. It shouldn't be that they dedicated a house, that, you know, they had a vineyard and didn't been able to eat or drink of it. They had a, you know, a wife and couldn't been able to enjoy, you know, her company before their battle or before they die. So please go and do that. Because then you're present, you're ready, you're in the whole entire atmosphere of what battle and war you have to fight. And then you don't have to worry about your battle buddy. I call them baddie buddies because that's what the way we said it in the military, how some people might be persuaded because, you know, they're concerned about their wives at home, the children at home, what have you. But you need to be mentally and physically prepared to be there in the existence so that when the war does happen, you're not worried about anything else, but you're there. You're concerned only with what God has been able to put you on. Now, what God does for us, and I was like, okay, the flip side of a spiritual side is that God prepares and saves you and he appoints you, but also he puts you, like my husband said, and sometimes you got to hear from, you know, how people sometimes explain it. And then I would sit there and I would say, look, this is what, you know, my husband also said is like, you know, how Abraham and Lot, and because Abraham was with Lot, he was in that bubble where he was able to be blessed just like, you know, Abraham was. And I was like, you know what? That is so true. Because have you noticed that every time, and I don't know about you, but I have three daughters, and I've noticed and I've learned that, you know, each one has a different talent, what I used to be able to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I love basketball, I love volleyball, and I love track. Now, at the same exact time, I'm starting to see a little bit more occurrence in what God was saying in, what God was saying is that when we sit there and we think about all these different attributes that God has given us, and yet and still at the same time, he's teaching us how to be patient. He's teaching us how to be loving. He's teaching us all these different things. And then at the same exact time, he gives you plain examples with your children. And, you know, I just thought all of them would be a little bit more like my husband, because all of them can be able to draw. But then I started realizing that, you know, my Lavandra, she loves, you know, she was more in participating in volleyball. And then Minuet saw me started to do basketball. And now Minuet is doing track. And I was like, man, those are the things that I used to be able to enjoy and just being able in my youth to partake in. Now, what I'm saying is that in the simple things that God gives us, I mean, sometimes it's so simplistic that, you know, even people with high degrees don't understand that God is just that simple. And I was like, okay, well then God, you're sitting up here and saying that we need to be able to be at the ready. We need to be able to not worry about our family, not worry about our finances, not worry about our children, our positions and, you know, job promotions, what have you, that God, you're going to take care of everything. And see, sometimes that goes over our heads as human beings, because we're just, you know, sometimes we're thinking we're just a little dot. But then I go back to Abraham and I remember that God had declared Abraham the father of many nations, and that, you know, he can't even enumerate the stars. And he said, this is how your legacy will be. Now, I'm saying this is that if we had that type of mindset, and I was like, man, this is so good, that the mindset that we starting to acquire in God, we're starting to start living holy, we're starting to fall off some things that we used to do. We used to cuss, or we used to fornicate, or whatever else was your personal sin. God's starting to work in on you so many times that you hunger and you thirst after this word of God. And then, then it becomes a whole lot more like, wait a minute. So when he sits there and he tells them, you know, go back, as the officer says, go back and do this and go back and do that. It's like you mentally have to be prepared, and you need to be able to understand that you as an individual are going to go through things. And then at the same exact time, you need to be able to, sometimes you need to document what you've been through so that you can understand and know, so you can, you know, show your children or give your own testimony to someone else. You never know what happens. And I was listening to a person that is very famous, and he was talking about his testimony when his mom was doing these things. And he had nothing against the, you know, the parent, but it was the fact that he went through so many different things, and, you know, his mom still feels a certain type of way about him saying things that happened, or you should dull it down. And he was like, no, I'm not going to dull it down, because a lot of people are going through these things. It's because of, you know, what happened with them as little kids. And then you're sitting up there and you're bringing that into a different realm or a different, you know, way of life for that child. And I was like, yeah, it's like, he was speaking a whole lot of testimony towards the way that I had to, you know, address some things as far as how I was addressed by my parent, and how I was addressed, how, you know, just the hurt and the pain. And then at the same exact time, it was like, I forgave like he forgave. And then at the same exact time, it was like God had to remove a lot of different things in order for me to activate and to be able to operate. But then at the same time, it's like bringing back your testimony. God brings back your testimony. And I believe, as you know, so many, you know, believers are like, oh, well, you should just forgive and forget about it. But no, sometimes we need to tell our testimony for other people to be delivered, for other people to know what happened, for other believers in Christ to know, this is what happened to me. And you can be able to be successful. You can be victorious in the same manner that I was. And you don't have to live in it. You don't have to carry that weight. And a lot of people don't realize that, you can be, you know, I've been depressed and I've been, you know, had an anxiety and all these different things. And I can understand that. But then I'm starting to see the weight of it lifting off of me because I'm telling you what's going on. I've already told God and God's been able to deliver me. Now I want to be able to give that or share that to someone else, because if that person is going through the same thing, it's not going to always be peaches and cream. It's not going to be roses every day for us as the body of Christ. But if you can be able to give it your testimony to just one person, to let them know to come out of what they've been in. And some of these people been in depression for years. Some of these people been in anxiety for years. But it was the fact that you want to make sure you understand and you know that God knows why. And then at the same exact time, he brings you out of it and you feel a whole lot better. You feel a whole lot lighter. You feel as though God conquered it with you and helped you to be able to do what was best for you. And he's the one that's able to protect you and keep you throughout the whole entire battle. And whether it is a physical or a mental battle, you never know what people go through. So always be kind, you know, pray for them, you know, even your enemies, pray for them, because a lot of them try to put their mouths on you. And don't you know, unless God says don't pray for them, you need to pray for them, because you don't know, you know, God said vengeance is mine. It's a lot when his vengeance comes. It's a lot of things that when God does things and he sees what people have done to you, and then he wants to go, he says vengeance is his. So you need to recognize, acknowledge that when God says it, he's going to settle it. And he's not going to be like nimmy. No, God comes down and he comes down hard. So what I'm telling you is that, you know, pray for yourself as well as for your enemies. Pray for your children. Pray for your home. Pray for your marriage and all these different aspects that you have in God, because you never know what the enemy is looking at, what he's lurking at. And God might be able to sit there and reveal to you what is going on. Amen. Now, verse 8, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren hearts faint as well as his heart. And I was remembering this because at the same time, it was like, you know, I've been through a lot. And honestly, I was definitely in a different realm of the world, and I've had it twice done to me. And then at the same exact time, it was like we were in a different part of the air of the world. And I just found out through one of the commands that, you know, they pretty much, some people got murdered and in front of the camp. And they were supposed to be a peaceful thing, but it turned into something that was bloody. And at that time, we had to drive at night. And I was like, man, Lord, I was starting to pray. And I had, you know, one gun, my weapon on me as well. I was driving. And he said, what do you do if this? I said, put the pedal to the metal. And I'm not going nowhere. I'm going straight. And if this and this, no, I don't care if the tires are flat. Let's keep pushing. And it was the fact that as the major was telling me this, it was like, you know, he was trying to reiterate what I needed to know and what battle sequence and what kind of mindset I'm supposed to have, because I'm only an E2. I haven't had this experience before. And then at the same time, like, let's flip over to the spiritual side. God gets you ready through the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. He gets you ready for the battles that's going to happen. He honestly sits there, and the Holy Spirit sits there and he tells you, hey, this is going to come up. That is going to come up. You need to have this ready. You need to be reading this. You need to be able to study this. You need to be in your prayer closet. You need to be, you know, fasting and praying over this. You need to be skipping over this, or you need to be sitting up here and you need to get out of this, the television. You need to be sitting up here and doing this and that. I mean, he honestly gets you ready for the things that God wants you or needs you to be prepared for. Now, it's up to you what you want to do. Can you fold? Do you want to sit here and be a punk? And I say it with a whole lot of, you know, you're sitting up, wait a minute, pastor, what prophetess, you can't. No, I'm saying it like it's real. Like, you know what the battle is. You know what's the, you know, what we have to go through. I don't know if you read Revelation yet. Go read it. And at the end, we win. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. I don't care what nobody else says. We win. So I'm going to sit here and wholeheartedly sit there and say, you know what? I got to do this and I got to run this race, as Paul says. No matter if, you know, he says the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the one that endured to the end. That means I'm going to get some cuts. I'm going to get some, you know, incomprehension. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be swerving. I might have to take some, you know, take some for the team. But guess what? If I know that my whole entire existence is going to be for heaven and heaven alone, oh, then it's on. I already know we win it. Oh, it's on. I cannot stop. What I can't put myself in a position where woe is me. That's enough. Enough is enough. We have to get to this point where, oh, well, God, I didn't get to, you know, I didn't get this or I didn't get that. You know what? I'm gonna say this and I may trip some people up, but God even talked to me and he was saying, well, if you don't get your PhD, but you get heaven, you know, is it worth it? I said, oh, yes, it is. It's definitely worth it. If you sit up there, God, and you come when I'm sitting up there about to get my diploma, man, it's worth it. Especially if I'm living for you and I'm doing what God says, do no matter what, it's worth it. If I'm not sitting, if, you know, sometimes we don't realize how much more that we can take until God gives it to us. We don't sit there and realize that all of the times where your parents or your mother or your father was being mean and disrespectful to you and, you know, saying you're not going to be able to do nothing. But then God comes in and he rectifies the whole entire thing. And they start seeing that, wait a minute, God protected my child. God, you know, then they want to sit up there and reap the benefits or the rewards of what God is giving you. See, that's the thing is that people say things out of their mouths, but that doesn't mean anything. It's only what God says so at the end. What God always sit up there and feed into you. See, my mother always, or her husband also used to say, well, you're not going to be anything. You're not going to do anything. All you're going to do is take care of kids. And I sat there and I told her, and I said, look, I am not your daughter. I am from Lucille and Henry and also Harvey Pearson. I'm their granddaughter. That's my mama. That's my big mama, my big daddy. And whatever comes out your mouth, it's not going to prosper because she taught me how to live. She taught me what I should be or where I'm going to be going. I'm going places where she won't even be able to go, where he won't be able to go. The only thing I need to do is take them with me. Let them know what God is doing in my life. And some of y'all don't even do that. When is it that you speak life into yourself? When is it are you going to sit there and say, you know what? I'm beautiful. I'm pretty. I am who God says I am. I am worthy. I am his precious jewel. I am someone that God loves more than life. If y'all can't do that, if you can't say that, then you haven't been talking to the great I am, El Shaddai, El Elohim. Y'all haven't been doing what God says do. Every day I have to sit there and say, and I go through this and I say, well, God, it's not, you know, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like that. But he said, no, you're worthy. He would say, I would tell him, hey, I've done this and I've done that. But then God would sit there. Didn't you have my son? Didn't you sit there and, you know, didn't you sit there and genuinely say, please forgive me of my sins, to cast it into sea forgiveness. There is no more. Do you understand? You're my child. You're more than what you may think. See, we may sit up there and we have these words that come out and you sit there and then you cast so many different curses on your own self. You sit up there and you make yourself small for other people to be big in front of you. No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be big because God has already made me like that. And the small things, God sits there, and I'm 5'4". I don't mind being my height. I don't mind being who I am because God made me this way. When are you going to sit there and step up and say, look, God made me this way. I need to be able to be more assertive. I need to be able to start calling it out as it is, start praying as we should, and start giving God the prayer and rebuke the devil when you need to see it. And know when it's right, it's right, and wrong is wrong. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. And I was like, man, okay, let's just get into this more, because people need to understand when you're faint-hearted and fearful, that goes into someone else. That shows that you don't even know who God is in your life, that the existence of him is just in a little itty bitty box only when you need something, or only when, you know, it's dire straits. No, I'm calling God when it's good and when it's bad. I'm calling him because he's my heavenly father. He's the one that taking care of me. He knows the whole entire blueprint. I'm just giving a little bit of the synopsis of my life. When are you going to realize that the battle, you know, formation or the battle situation that you're in, or instructions, you need to be getting them from the word of God, and you need to be talking to God? It ain't about the people. It ain't about me. I love to hear a good word of God, but also at the same exact time, I don't depend on anyone else to hear from the word of God. I need to go in it for myself. I need to go talk to the one that made me. I'm the creation, not the creator. So I need to go to the source. When have you been to the source lately? Oh, y'all don't hear me though. Man, Pastor, you going. I'm just telling you, this is how, what I had to download into me since I've been sick, since all these different things were coming up. And God was still God. Amen. Now let's go into this also too. Verse 9, it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Do you understand that God sits there and he places the Holy Spirit over you to help you understand and guide you into all the truths that you need? And yes, you do have pastors, you know, let him be able to instruct you on the pastors that you need to be in. But once you have been in a drought, let me say this, because some people don't even understand when I tell you a drought, that sometimes you don't get to be able to go to a church. You don't get to go where you need to go in order for you to be fed, because then God is sitting up here and he's sending you like Elijah, and you have the birds of the air to come in and give you manna, and that's from straight from God. And then he's going to sit you out to where you need to go until you're able to be discovered. Y'all don't hear me though. Y'all don't hear me. See, sometimes God will send you out in the wilderness in order for you to get your training. And then by the time that you coming into some other level that God has already placed you in, don't you know they'll sit there baffled. Wait a minute. How long has it been? Wait a minute. I just saw you this way. And this, it's been a six months to a year. Wait a minute. You've been like this. This is the way you've been now. Wait a minute. You're assertive. This is the way that, you know, I've never saw you like this. And this is the way that God is trying to teach us in order for us to do what God says to do, not be stagnant, not to sit up there and you sit up there and you know what God said, but yet and still you want to stay in the baby stage. Do you understand that if you stay on that milk too long, your teeth will be messed up, your jaws will be messed up, and the way that you able to speak and communicate with all the different people will stop and cease until you do what God says do. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Y'all don't hear me. Man, Pastor, you had a, yes, I had a lot to sit here and tell you, because at the same time, do you understand that when God sits there and tells you, I need you to grow, you need to, even in the winter, even in the wilderness, even in the droughts, God still wants you to grow. In order for you to get to a different level, in order for you to do what God says do, by the time that you get to where God needs for you to be, that the doors open, that all these different things are being able to sustain you, hold you financially, spiritually, mentally, that God gets you to that place, but you have to be able to what? Grow. And the dirt, do you understand? Even in the dark places, God has things to grow. Whether it is good or bad, as I'm looking and I'm seeing that the Odyssey and Ajumon, usually I see the Odyssey, but I think because he's a little bit more seasoned this year, I'm starting to see the Ajumon come out. And she's out most of the time, 4 or 5 in the morning. And then she'll come out and she'll see, you know, how to be able to till the ground and see and test the ground to see, hey, can I plant this? Can I do this? Or can I work? And because she's out there early trying to see about the land, do you understand that's the way that God is with us? Wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about? And it's a parable, and it says that, you know, the sower went out to sow his seeds into the ground. And some of them he threw out, and some of them the birds collected. And then some of them went into the deep root of the ground, and it was able to, you know, be shaken and not, you know, bear any fruit. But for the ones that were so deep down that it was able to grow and take up root. And then you're starting to see a whole lot of manifestations of what you've sown. Because you've sown love, you've sown compassion, you've sown humility, you've sown all these different things. God is starting to see about the reaping season. And then at the same exact time, God is trying to tell you that when you do the things that he says to do, especially when you're in battle and you're obedient. And before the battle, he prepares you. He tells you things like, I don't know about you, but he does come in and he tells me things in dreams and in visions. And he tells me in prophecies and all these different things. And in the word of God, he shows me these things. And he wants me to go out and spare not. And he tells me to go and speak and spare not. Because it's coming a time and you're starting to see we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah in the United States. People are doing, oh my God, inhumane things to children, to human beings within themselves. And even now I'm starting to see, and I mean, my heart drops, even for the homeless people. People are going to hunt them down as they sleep. And some of them are sleeping in trees just to be able to survive. Some of them are sleeping in tunnels. So that people won't sit there and rob them and murder them in their sleep. Do you understand the validity that the United States is starting to go? And we got more woes to go through. So prepare your heart and your mind. Amen. Now, let me go back into this word. Verse 10. Then thou cometh nigh unto a city to fight against it. Then proclaim peace unto it. Verse 11, it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributes unto thee, and they shall serve thee. Verse 12, and if it will make no peace with thee, then will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. Verse 13, and when the Lord thy God have delivered it into thy hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, but the women and the little children and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, thou shalt take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thy enemies, which the Lord thy God have given thee. Verse 15, thus shall thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Verse 16, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doeth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doeth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breathe. breathing. Excuse me. Verse 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Verse 18, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, what they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God? Verse 19, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time and making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Let me read that one more time. When thou sayest besiege a city a long time, and making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Verse 20, only the trees which thou knowest, that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the cities that maketh war with thee until it is subdued. Now I looked up bulwark, and it says a solid in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, a solid well-like structure raised for defense. And I was like, okay, God. So the mindset now is that don't let anything that is of them that breatheth. I'm talking about the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They're not to exist anymore. Not against us. And not against the children of Israel. But also at the same exact time, did you hear what he said? That you should not cut down any tree. For the tree of the field is man's life. See, some of us need to realize and understand these are battle instructions that God has given us. Now, let me go ahead and let's go ahead and go into the spiritual realm. When Adam and Eve sinned and they ate of the tree of good and evil, God didn't cut down that tree. God sat there and he pretty much put an angel with an axe. And hurried them off. He gave them, you know, clothing, and, you know, he pretty much, you know, hurried them off out of the, you know, Eden. And at the same time, he told them, you know, Adam, you're going to till the ground. Eve, you know, you're going to sit there and you're going to have children out of birth. You know, that is painful, which I feel like, you know, I should be kicking her. But this is what all women are going to go through. And, you know, you're going to see the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work hard for what you have. And in the back of my mind, sometimes I feel as though Abraham and also with Moses and, you know, Noah and I mean, all these different people, you know, all these different people in the Bible, a lot of them became God's friends. And I know that it may have hurt Adam to be away from Eden because he was able to walk with God in the cool of the day. He was able to, you know, be with God as he was, you know, going, and God let him be able to, you know, go and, you know, label all the animals in the garden. And I mean, that had to hurt to be kicked out. And the sin, yes, it was great. But it's the fact that we don't, you know, he doesn't have communion with God as he used to. And I mean, that's got to put a poignant thing on it. It's like you going into battle, you want to feel God. You want to feel his presence. You want to be able to have, you know, the Holy Ghost. You want to be able to just sometimes let God come in and put your arms around you. Because even when you have your hardest and most monumental moments of hurt and pain, and you get on your hands and your knees and you start crying, you want God to come and see about you. And I'm not saying that God didn't go and see about, you know, Adam, but it's the fact that, you know, he didn't walk with him as he did before, not as close. And I feel as though, you know, we can miss the mark because we want to walk, do this. We want to go do this and do that. And then God sits there and says, you know what? I missed my time with you. And then I sit there and I'm like, okay, God, let me make time for you. And see, the enemy hears that. And he wants to give you all the other stuff that you got, you know, car breaks down, all these different things going on. You know, you get a fight with your kids or your husband or something going on, a job messed up. And he wants you to have all these distractions instead of you sitting there and simply sitting there and saying, you know what, I'm going to give time with God. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to build my defense and I'm going to build this wall that I need to be able to defend myself. In order for me to protect and seek God even the more. And that's where fasting and praying comes from. And I was like, okay, God. And then at the same time, it's like, just hear me out. Do you see that one time when we go and we sit there and we talk to God? I mean, earnestly talk to him. I mean, spending, you know, sometimes hours with God. Even when we don't have the hours to spend with God, but even if it's sometimes it makes it seem like 10 or 15 minutes you spend with God, it seems like hours to you. And then at the same time, you go and you do what you have to do and then come back home and then you still spend time with him just because you miss the presence of God. And I'm like, man, how Enoch, I mean, he steadily went. And was with God. I mean, until God said, you know what? Come on with me. You need to come on with me because you're spending more time with me. You want to spend. Okay, let's go. And then he was no more. I mean, it's just those type of things that you think about. I don't know about you. It's just certain time of things that I think about when I think about the Bible and I think about, you know, my life and how my relationship with God should be solid. How I should be sitting here and saying, you know what, God, I need to spend more time in this and I need to go do this and I need to, you know, talk to you about this. But let me go over here. Let me go ahead and talk to God about this. And then, you know, start having some questions coming up and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's never a dull moment when you sit there and you have time with God. Because, I mean, God is funny. He's straight up hilarious. And then also at the same time, God is savage. He is. He honestly will straight up tell you, I am a jealous God. I don't want to be with nobody else but you. And I want to get to know you. Yes, I birthed you. Yes, I used to play with you in your mother's womb. But also at the same exact time and I formed you. But I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want to have a relationship with you just like I had with Moses. Just like I had with, you know, Abraham and all these different individuals, I want to know you. So when are you going to give me that time that I can talk to you about the instructions, about the battle, about the situation that's going to come up? Or do I need to just go ahead and that's the thing. You got to be prepared. You just can't. I didn't get into the military and they didn't, you know, honestly give me these dialects or these orders or what have you without preparing me for certain things. Not sitting up there and giving me the proper instructions. Now, I went also to Joshua, the second chapter, but let me go before I go to Joshua, the second chapter. I want to go right quick to Numbers 14th chapter and the 28th verse. And I thought this was fitting because let me go a little bit further. Let's go into the 22nd verse. Okay. And it says Numbers, the 14th chapter and the 22nd verse, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times and I have not hearkened unto my voice. Excuse me. 23rd verse. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Ooh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Verse 24, and that's not in the Bible, but I'm just saying. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and haveth followed me fully, will I bring him into the land whereinto he went and his seed shall possess it? Let me say this. When I was talking to my husband about Caleb, it was like Caleb was your ride or die. To me, that's modern time. Like Caleb believed in God. He didn't care. He he did not care if he didn't see it, but because he knew who God was and he knew that God said it, and when God said it, he believed it. And then even before the miracles happened, even before this, he saw who God was, and he wasn't presently there like he was with Joshua. But when he did, when Caleb saw what he saw, it was like Caleb didn't have to see it. He just had the faith and he knew God was going to do it. And he was like, you know what? I know that God's going to take care of me. I don't know about y'all fools, but, you know, paraphrasing now, I don't know about y'all. I don't know what you think. But what I know is that God's going to take care of me. So we're going to go in and possess the land. I don't care what y'all say. God already said he's already given us this land. So we need to go and possess it. We need to go ahead and get the battle situations ready. And I'm just paraphrasing, but I'm just saying he already knew without an inkling or a shadow of a doubt that God was going to be able to. And because of his faith and because of the way he thinks and because he was just stark crazy for God. I mean, just downright just going through it, knew who God was. I mean, it was like at the drop of the hat when God said it, he knew it and he felt it and he did what God says to do. And when they sent them out, the 12, when they sent them out, the 12 spies and Caleb and Joshua came back only and gave them good reports after so many. Oh, these people are too big. We're like, you know, crickets to them. We can't even get this and that. No, no. Caleb spoke up and said, look, this is what God said. I don't care what nobody says. I don't know about you, but I know what God said. And that's something that you got to be able to get into that mindset. See, that's the difference between, you know, us and the ones that believe and the one that doesn't believe. See, that's a different thing is that when God sits there and says it, that you can believe it. And then at the same, you don't even have to see no manifestation of it. You just have to be able to sit there and say, you know what? I know that God's got it. Let me go ahead and be busy something else. Let me go ahead and do what God says do. No, no, no. I know, because I talked to him the other day. I know that God's going to take care of the situation. I know my children will be set. I know my husband will be set. I know my finances is going to be set. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God's going to take care. Let me go ahead and be busy somewhere else. Not until God go ahead and open up that door. Now, I don't have to look at this and that. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to believe in this and that. I don't know. I believe that God's already set it up. So y'all leave me alone. That's what Caleb did. It's like Caleb had that special type of, you know, just super, as my husband says, super fan. Even if he doesn't see them win, he knows that, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, they will win. And I love how it says that the 24th verse, but my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and haveth followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein too he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amorites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Verse 26, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Jesus. Which murmurs against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. 28th verse. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. 31st, doubtless shall ye not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Ooh, Jesus. Let me read that one more time. Doubtless ye shall have come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun. See, because of their faith, because of what Caleb said and because of Joshua, they were able to come into the land. And the ones that sat there and murmured and complained, God does not like for us to murmur and complain. Ooh, y'all. Ooh. Wait a minute, Pastor. I'm a gonna be with you right here. 110. I gotta repent myself. Cause sometimes I murmur and complain. I'm like, man, God, do I have to be here? Do I have to do this? Like, God, man, you know. But then when you honestly see how the consequences of their actions, because they sat there and they murmured and complained about what God told them to do. He said, your life is required of you this time. No, he said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. That's 29th verse. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from your 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, except because y'all were doubtful. Okay, let's take it over to the spiritual realm. When God tells you something and you doubt God, that hurts the Holy Spirit. That grieves them, because God sat there in all the things that they have been through. I mean, manna from heaven and him walking with them. And I mean, the food and all the pheasants and all this stuff that God has given them. But yet and still, they still doubt him, just like you, just like me. Sometimes we as human beings, we lack so much when you have already experienced what God has given you. And yet and still you want to sit here and you think that God is not going to come through. Y'all have bumped y'all heads, me included. Y'all, we have bumped our heads because we think God ain't going to come through. But when he does come through, it's right on time. He tells you to your face, this is who I am. This is what I can do. You need to trust me, because everybody's looking at you when you don't trust me. Let me say that one more time for people in the back. See, that's the thing, is that we need to trust God in the good and the bad. When God says, I'm going to do it, he's going to do it. And he exceedingly abundantly does it. He does it so well that sometimes he'll tell you, hey, you need to write this down so you can remember what I've done. And there's so many times that God has done things in my life. I had to write it down in order for me to remember it, because I can remember a time when I was this time or that time, and I will remember it. And I will sit there and I say, you know what? God brought me through that. God sat there. He did this and did that. And it was extemporary. It was so over the top that people's mouths were like, what? How could you be going? Do you understand that God shows up and shows out? He wants us to have the cream of the crop. But because of our doubtfulness, our way of thinking, our mindset, it comes in so many different ways. I had to repent. God, please forgive me, because I am human. Yes, but also at the same exact time, I should be like the children of Israel. If I've seen it once happen and he's done this repetitively, I should trust God even more because I've seen him. And I've seen what God can do. I shouldn't have to sit there and be like a doubting Thomas and say, whoa, is me. You know, I don't believe that God, you know, his son died on the cross and all this other stuff. No, we should believe it. And that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can measure and obtain. He is the one reason why I keep going, is because I know for a fact I shall wear a crown. I shall be able to see his face. I shall be able to have my tears wiped away. I shall be able to have eternal peace, not damnation. Hell is not my home, and I'm not trying to plan on going there. So I'm going to let go of all of the animosity, the unforgiveness, all of these different things. And I have to cleave to him and him alone. And people don't realize is that when you're doing your battle formations, or the way that God has it for you, in order for you to learn and know that he has the instructions for you in this Bible, in this word, you need to heed it and not let you fold. He doesn't want you to put up there and put the wave and the white flag so that the enemy can come in and possess your what God has given you. Don't. Man, we are going to do a verse two on this, because for me personally, I want to be able. It's like when he said it, that Caleb is a different, his spirit, a different person, like his whole entire demeanor. He knew God was, and he loved God enough that he sat there and he wanted people to know that God was still God. that just, like, that's what God does for us. He knows that you can take it. He knows the battles are coming, and he knows that you can be able to put up with it. He knows that you can be able to be a conqueror. He knows that you can be able to, you know, take those licks and keep going. He knows that you're going to be able to be victorious. But until you know it, until you live it, until you start doing what God says do, then it will become reality. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Until you start getting into your mindset and into your battle plans and into your formulas that God said what he said, and that you got to believe God. And so you got to go in and do what God says do, and that you got to do it the way that God says to do it. And then you will be able to prosper as your soul prospers. Man, y'all don't hear me though. We're going to do a second one on this one. This was what's good. And like I said, please excuse me. I have not been able to come, because if you have just now joining with us, I have not been feeling well. I've had my children down to my husband and myself, and then having some other things that was going on. And I'm grateful and thankful that God is still there and still on the throne. Amen. Now, we're going to do a part two. So get ready and start realizing that different mindset, different way of thinking. We stay with God, team Jesus, all the way, even until death. Trust me, it's going to come. And when it does come, whether you are being tortured, whether you are dying, whether what have you, whatever comes, what may, know that God is looking out for you and your best interest. Don't go back to the enemy. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. If you even thought about, hey, you know, life might be a little bit easier, I'm telling you right now, don't do it. I don't know who I'm talking to, but don't do it. Don't go back when God has given you so much. He has given and gained ground with you. He has been able to help you and have people to want to come and see what's going on with you. Don't sit there and fold because the enemy, oh, it's getting too hot up in here. The enemy is doing this and saying this and all this other stuff. That's when you got to dig down deep and do what God says do. That's when you got to get into the foxhole, and we would dig down 6 feet to the ground, dig them, and then get in there with your battle buddy. And then you got to be able to post up. That means that you got to have your weapon ready while your battle buddy is looking around to see what's going on. And if you have enemy fire, you better go ahead and start shooting. And while they're sitting up there, your battle buddy is going to go behind you, and they're going to start shooting also. So we need to be able to take God and heed God's plan and word in our lives. Know that who God is in your life. Have a stable relationship with him. I mean, I'm talking about intimate so much that when he calls you, hey, you know that's his voice, because you know the enemy is going to parade around like an angel of light. You know he's going to come in and say, oh, well, I'm just trying to help. No, you're trying to, that's death. When you know for a fact that the enemy is not your friend, that he wants to sit up here and rule you out, cut you out of God's whole entire position of heaven and his anointing and his good works of God in you. Don't you take nothing for granted. Don't sit there and think that the enemy will not try you. He will not try to tempt you. He will not sit up there and try to be able to come into your camp to try to take what he has and steal it away from you. No. Never underestimate your enemy, your opponent. And don't give him no credit either. Let him know who you are and whom you are, and know that God is still on the throne. Amen. Now, thank you for listening. And if first and foremost, let me say this. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to get to know him on today, go to Romans 10:9-13. And it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has been risen and died for our sins, then you need to genuinely repent of your sins, and you believe on his son, then you can be able to be considered and knowing that you are of God and you are a Christian. That's the start of it. But then you need to start getting into your word, getting into a church, getting around people like-minded people, believers as yourself, knowing who you are in God. And then at the same exact time, keep going no matter what, and keep doing what God says do, and learn from him, get a relationship with him. And get a relationship so much so that when he calls, you need to answer. And we're going to get into all of that too. Samuel, when he was a boy, he didn't know God's voice. So he thought it was Eli. And he went, I think, 3 times until Eli realized that God was calling him. And then Eli said, "You need to go back to your room," paraphrasing. And when that same voice comes and says, "Samuel," then you need to say, "My Lord, here am I. And that was God. And I'm just saying, do what God says do, because we're about to get into some things that we need to talk about. And yes, it is going to get deep. So please have a pen and paper ready. Do what God says do. We're going to get back into the word of God. Amen. Thank you for listening. And if you like what you heard thus far, please like, follow, and subscribe. If you find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Amazon Music, and Audible, Spotify, and Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Samsung, and other major platforms such as YouTube. I still need to get into YouTube. And we will be doing that soon. God keeps impressing on me, so I need to do more of these things. This show, please leave a 5-star rating. That would help me in reaching more people. And if you have any questions, comments, find me on Facebook. I am on Facebook. It is written LATONYAULLOA. I am also on TikTok. It is written LATONYAULLOA. If you would like to be able to have any questions or concerns or prayer, please be able to give me some time and just leave a message with us on that Facebook page. But also at the same exact time, if you are a witch or a warlock, please do not come for me. This is of God, and this is God's anointing. This is his platform. I will rebuke you. I will sit there and I cast you out right now that you have not the spirit of God. So you need to leave this one alone. You understand? Don't sit there and try to think that you can tempt us, do anything, voodoo, hoodoo, what have you, because this is God's anointing and we do not play. Now, I'm going to say this also too. Please understand and know that we do love God and we thank God for him. He is the main reason for the seasons every single day of our lives. So never think that God doesn't hear from you. Amen. That we don't love you, that you have an audience with us, and that if you need to reach out, please do. And we thank you. Thank you so much for listening. If you just found us, thank you. If you've been with us for a while, thank you so much. If you know who God is on today, shout hallelujah. I have been redeemed. The redeemed of the Lord, what says so? So do this on today. Be exalted in God. Bless him. Take care of him. Know who God is. Exalt him in all these things that we do and say. Amen. I thank you so much for blessings. And I thank you so much for just hearing me and doing what God says. Do amen. And these humble beginnings, I'm so grateful and thankful for everything that he has done for us. There is much more to do and much more to see in this podcast. And we thank you. You have a great and awesome day, night, evening. Conosamida, Anyong.